Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. April is STI Awareness Month, so I wanted to do a bonus episode to review some of the top things to be aware of when it comes to STIs or sexually transmitted infections. So I hope you enjoy this bonus episode and maybe learn a thing or two. Are you wanting to improve your intimacy and would like some wonderful ideas to help you? I have created the 30-day intimacy challenge. To get my free 30-day intimacy challenge, all you gotta do is leave a review for the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast. Once you do that on iTunes, take a screenshot, share it over on Instagram, and tag me, Jordan Donnell, in it. That will get you your free copy of my 30 Days of Intimacy Challenge. It is super fun, it is super juicy, and can't wait for you to try these. You can do it in whatever order you'd like, whether you'd like to do all 30 of them or pick and choose, it's up to you. Go write your review and get your 30 Days of Intimacy Challenge started right away. Sexually transmitted infections. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. I have always been like the go-to girl to talk about STIs. I don't know what it is, but when I was in probably middle school or high school, my girlfriends always came to me to talk about sexually transmitted infections, condoms, that kind of fun stuff. And so it's always kind of been in my blood, you could say. It is Sexually Transmitted Infection Awareness Month, so I wanted to make sure to cover some of the top key things to remember when it comes to different STIs that are out there. If you want to learn more about any one of them in particular in more detail, I have done an entire podcast episode on a lot of them. So go check those out if you have more questions, need more things answered. But let's celebrate STI Awareness Month. First and foremost, the most important thing to know about STIs is it is part of sex. One in two will have an STI by the age of 25. According to the CDC, in 2018, one in five adults will have an STI at any given moment. So sexually transmitted infections are just a part of having sex and a part of intimacy, and most of them are treatable, and if they're not treatable, they are manageable. Although STIs can be scary and overwhelming, I think that it's important to learn more information about them so that you can be more aware. And in the event that you do get an STI, you have more information about it and can understand that you're not alone. And on top of that, intimacy can continue and even be better, even if you have an STI. One common misconception that I hear from a lot of patients is that if I have an STI, I would know. I would have symptoms. I have no burning. I have no itching. I have no odor. Well, guess what? Most STIs are asymptomatic or have no symptoms. And that's how they're spread. You don't know that you have them unless you're getting tested, which is why testing is so important. If you have multiple partners, I would encourage getting tested on a regular basis. If you are going to be seeing a new partner, getting tested before your new partner and ensuring that they are also getting tested before intimacy, it would be ideal. I'm going to teach you some of the great ways to have these conversations that Courtney Bram in an earlier podcast episode had brought up. So before we get into different STI types, let's talk a little bit more about the disclosure tool that I love to use. It is by Evelyn Dacher and it's called STARS. It stands for S is for sexual health, T is for turn-ons, so what do you like? A is for avoids, R is for relationship intentions, and then the last S stands for safer sex precautions. This tool is really, really helpful to use when you are meeting somebody who you may plan on being intimate with. This is a great way to disclose your STI status And like Courtney talked about in our episode together, one of the best things you can do is ask all of those questions and talk about STI history or sexually transmitted infection status at the end, because you can learn, are your turn-ons similar? Are your avoids, is that something that you both can work with? And your relationship intentions, is that something that you both are open to? If you are really looking for a relationship, but this individual is looking to hook up, is that going to work for you? Is that something you want to continue to pursue knowing that? If it's not, you don't have to disclose your STI status then, because you're not going to choose to be intimate with them. So this tool is so helpful. It's my favorite to use for disclosing and talking about what you like in the bedroom. I find that a lot of clients actually say that their communication is improved after having a positive STI diagnosis, because they are now talking more about what they like. They're talking more and communicating with their partner about sex and intimacy, and it has increased their pleasure. So, love the STARS method. Highly encourage giving that a try. Now, when it comes to breaking down the different types of STIs today, I'm going to break it down a little bit differently than usual. I'm going to talk about the STIs that spread via skin-to-skin contact, and then we'll talk about the STIs that are spread via fluid exchange. One common misconception I always hear is condoms protect you against STIs. Well, yeah, kind of, but not in its entirety. So, condoms do help protect you against sexually transmitted infections. However, there are some STIs that are spread via skin-to-skin contact. This means you don't have to have penetration if you are, oh gosh, as my mom would say, bumping uglies. But if you are, I can't believe I said that. If you are rubbing your genitals together and not having penetration, but still having that skin-to-skin contact, STIs can still be spread. The three primary STIs that can be spread via skin-to-skin contact are going to be HSV, or herpes simplex virus, type 1 and type 2. Then you have HPV, or human papillomavirus. And then you have syphilis. So let's talk a little bit more about HSV, or herpes simplex virus, type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is most commonly associated with cold sores. However, it can spread to genitals. And if you have HSV type 1, you should still be disclosing that. It is herpes, period. You should be talking to your partners about your HSV status, because even if you aren't having a cold sore, it is possible to spread it. This can be spread via oral favors, if from mouth to genitals. It can be spread from genitals to genitals. It is just spread via skin-to-skin contact. 1 in 5 have genital herpes, and studies show that about 89.7% of people with HSV2, which is more commonly known as the genital herpes, are unaware. HSV is not commonly tested for when you go see your doctor. It's not part of the standard panel, and according to the CDC, they state that sexual behaviors are not changed with this information, and that knowing this information, knowing your HSV status, is more harm than good. However, I strongly disagree with that and think that everybody should be entitled to know their own personal status and choose to proceed how they would like based on what they know. That's where, like, most people don't know that they even have it. And it's pretty common at the end of the day. It's a skin disorder spread via skin-to-skin contact. As far as treatment goes, you may choose to treat with an antiviral medication or you may not. You'll want to discuss with your provider as far as if that's something that you need to do or choose to do. It's not mandatory to take. And I think that that's one of the common misconceptions, is that if you have HSV, you need to take acyclovir or Valtrex. And at the end of the day, like, you don't have to. If you have recurrent outbreaks and you want to reduce those, then it might be a good option. If you want to reduce potentially spreading it, then it might be a good option. If There are lots of people who have HSV who don't take the Valtrex, who don't take the acyclovir, because for whatever reason, they have decided that the benefits don't outweigh the risks, and you don't have to take it. Flat out, herpes is not going to kill you. The biggest thing that you can take away from this is cold sores are herpes, period. That is HSV with spread via skin-to-skin contact. The other thing about skin-to-skin contact is that condoms don't cover all skin. So if you think about a penis, most of the time the condoms aren't going all the way down to the base of the penis. And so part of the shaft is left unprotected, first of all. Second of all, the vulva is not protected from the skin that is not protected by the condom. The next type of STI that's spread via skin-to-skin contact is HPV. And I could do millions of episodes on HPV, but typically there are no symptoms for HPV. And there are over 100 different total strands of HPV, or human papilloma virus, and these strands cause other types of warts, like flat warts, plantar warts, a variety of different things. 40 HPV strands are genital. And of those 40, there is a couple that are more high risk for cervical cancer, and there are a couple that are more high risk for genital warts. One of the potential side effects of HPV is genital warts. One of the potential outcomes is cervical cancer. HPV is also not screened for. There's no screening test for men, and it's only screened when you do a pap smear and it's abnormal, or sometimes if you're over the age of 30, they will do that additional screening. So again, not routinely screened for. Most sexually active women will have HPV in their lifetime. And something that keeps coming up for me is that women who have had the HPV vaccine don't know that there's additional strands that you can still get besides those handful that are covered by the vaccine. So you still can get HPV even if you had the vaccine. However, the HPV vaccine protects you against the handful of most high risk for cervical cancer. And HPV is the leading cause of cervical cancer. One of the statistics I found when putting this episode together is that condoms reduce the spread of HPV about 70%. So they do benefit. However, they're not perfect. Now, that's the other thing with condoms is you got to use them perfectly. And for a lot of people, that doesn't necessarily mean putting it on prior to any penetration, or, you know, things happen. So proper use of a condom would be that it's put on prior to any penetration or any skin contact, ultimately. Now, the third type of STI that's spread via skin-to-skin contact is syphilis. And syphilis is on the rise. There was a significant increase of about 71% in 4 years recently. It's less common than gonorrhea, but it is more common than HIV. Typically, the first sign of syphilis is going to be a chancre or a painless lesion. And this is treated with antibiotics. There are a couple different stages of syphilis. Go check out the syphilis episode if you have additional questions or you want to learn more about it. But this is treated with antibiotics and can lead to a disease if not treated. So it's one of those you want to make sure that you're getting tested and treated. It's as simple as that. Make sure that you are getting your routine testing. Now let's switch gears and talk about STIs that are spread via fluid exchange. One thing to keep in mind is that ejaculation does not have to occur to transmit these STIs. So this is going to be gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, and mycoplasma and ureaplasm. So gonorrhea commonly is asymptomatic. However, if you're going to have symptoms, it could be some odor, it could be pain, it could be bleeding with intercourse, it could be changes in discharge. Same with chlamydia, odor, discharge, pain, bleeding, things like that, both of which are treated with antibiotics. They're fairly common. How do you find out if you have them if you don't have any symptoms? You get tested. One huge takeaway from this episode is get tested. That's the only way you're going to find out that's the only way to confirm or know if you have an STI is if you are getting tested. Another STI that's spread via fluid exchange is going to be HIV or human immunodeficiency virus, which when not treated can result in AIDS. 1 in 9 women with HIV are unaware that they have it. So this is another one you want to make sure that you are getting tested so that you are aware. In 2018, 24% of new cases were in heterosexual couples. And I know that a lot of people think of HIV and they think of more commonly seeing it in homosexual relationships. However, that's not the case. It doesn't pick and choose. Is the likelihood potentially increased? Yes. However, heterosexual couples can also get HIV. Typical signs and symptoms, a lot of times, are just going to be flu-like symptoms, like I just don't feel well. And treatment is with antivirals. With antiviral treatment, a lot of times the viral load is undetectable to where it's not transmittable. Again, get tested. If you are positive for HIV, you can start antivirals and then be able to treat that and prevent that from becoming AIDS. But if you don't know, you can't do anything about it. So that's something so important to keep in mind. The other thing that is available is something called PrEP, which is a medication regimen that helps reduce your risk of contracting HIV if you are potentially exposed to HIV, or depending on your lifestyle, you can talk with your provider if it's appropriate for you. So that's something to know that's available out there as well. The last couple STIs that are spread via fluid transmission is mycoplasma and ureaplasma. If you've listened to the prior podcast, you know that these are newer STIs, and the CDC first recognized mycoplasma genitalium as an STI in 2015. Typically going to be asymptomatic. Again, sometimes painful urination, pain with intercourse, bleeding, discharge, odor, things like that, but mostly asymptomatic or no symptoms. It is treated with antibiotics. This one a lot of times is not tested for either. There's just not as much information about it. If you want to learn more about mycoplasma and ureaplasma, I did a whole episode about the new STIs on the block. Go listen to that. There's lots of great information. But what you should know is that mycoplasma genitalium is the third most common STI in the United States. And each additional partner increases your risk of mycoplasma genitalium by 10%. So something to keep in mind. STIs happen. Shit happens, y'all. And you can be doing everything in your power to protect yourself or prevent an STI from happening. And it may still happen. So learning how to deal with it and manage it and communicate, all of that is so important so that when or if that happens for you, you have those tools to help you feel supported and know that you're not alone. And I think that that is so important. So some other things as far as prevention, we kind of talked about this, is condoms are a great way to prevent STIs, not 100%. Still encourage using them. You can also use a dental dam. So go check out my Instagram if you want to learn how to use a dental dam. I am going to be posting a video there on how to make your own dental dam. But a dental dam is great for oral favors being performed on women to help reduce STI transmission. Routine testing, highly encourage it. It allows for treatment and management of infections or viruses. So important. Communication is key. Make sure your partner is also getting tested and you guys are having conversations about your STI status. As far as toys go, something that I hear a lot is, well, I got an STI from my toy. Or they have questions about, well, I had an STI. What do I do with my toys? So I think it's important to know that sex toys themselves cannot give you an STI, but they can be a vector for transmission if someone with an STI used it and it wasn't cleaned properly. I would encourage not sharing toys between individuals or using condoms on toys if you are sharing them in between individuals, and then making sure to clean them as well. However, if you're not cleaning them properly, you can get micro holes ultimately in the toy, and then that can be a place where bacteria can grow, including STIs, and be a vector for transmission. So encourage not sharing toys. If you are sharing them, make sure you're cleaning them. If you get an STI and you have a toy and you're curious what to do with it, my recommendation would be make sure that you've been cleaning it properly, make sure that you've been taking care of your toy well, and if so, clean it real good, should be good to go. If you continue to get an STI, know that you may want to go ahead and replace your toy, because maybe the cleaning process wasn't good enough, or there were those micro holes in the toy that allowed the STI to continue to grow there. When it comes to STIs, they are part of sex. It happens. I find it so interesting that when you get strep throat, nobody jumps to this conclusion of, oh, you got strep throat. What'd you do? What was happening? You were being promiscuous. You were doing this. You were doing that. Strep throat is a bacteria. It's a bacterial infection, just like gonorrhea, chlamydia. And yet there's all of this thought about gonorrhea and chlamydia when strep throat is also just a bacteria. They're all treatable with antibiotics. Nobody makes a big old deal about strep. So that's my final words on that. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode for STI Awareness Month and learned a couple things or two. Like I said before, be sure to go check out the prior episodes all about STIs so that you can learn more information if you are interested. This podcast is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.